السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام
ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. The praise is to the Lord of the worlds. You know, I was thinking about something very important, something that people talk about a lot these days, called haram and halal. What does haram mean? It means anything which is forbidden and you shouldn't do it. Halal means things that you can do and they're permitted. When I first looked at Islam, I knew something about the prophets from before. But after I learned about the prophets in Islam, I learned a lot more about this subject of halal and haram. I used to be confused. Can I eat this food or not eat that food? Is this okay or is that okay? Can I drink this or this? How come this? How come that? It seemed contradictory and confusing many times. When I came in Islam, I learned a good rule. This is a general rule that all the people can understand easy. Anything you want to do in this world, you know, the life that we live in Arabic is called Hayat al-Dunya. Life, Hayat, of the material world, Dunya, Hayat al-Dunya. And anything you want to do is okay. Anything is okay unless you see proof that you can't do it. Huh? Let's understand that again. Does that mean I can lie? No, because that's forbidden, isn't it? Does that mean I can cheat? No, that's forbidden. Can't kill anything without reason. Like animal, you could kill it to eat only. Yeah? But other things, what if I said, well, I would like to know, because at the time of, let's say, Prophet Moses, people didn't have cars, did they? So how do I know if I could ride in a car? Maybe it's haram. I need to know. Did they have microwave oven? No. Can I use the microwave oven to cook my food? I don't know. Is it okay or not okay? At the time of Musa alayhi salam, they also didn't have cigarettes. So how do I know if it's haram? Is it forbidden or not? There are many questions that come in my mind, but I remember the rule. In this world, you can do it unless you find the evidence, the proof that says no. No, no. Let's look at an example. One example, let's see. I want to ride a bicycle. But nobody had a bicycle, even at the time of Muhammad, the last prophet, peace be upon him. Nobody had a bicycle. So can I ride a bicycle or no? The rule says, if I don't find evidence against it, I can ride it. What did the prophets used to do? Okay, all the prophets, they used to ride donkeys. They used to ride camels or horses or whatever they had, they rode it. Yeah? Even goats, I guess. Who knows? Maybe sheep, I don't know. But they didn't have any law anywhere from Scripture, from Revelation, that says, no, you can't ride this, you can't ride that. So, how about a boat? Prophets even rode in boats. We know a very famous story that I'll be telling you about later, about a prophet who wound up on a boat for a while. In fact, we know about Noah, alayhi salam. He had a big boat, didn't he? So they could ride on boats. Would you like to know what Noah said when he got on the boat? Allah inspired Noah what to say. And this is what we use when we ride anything. Even if you want to ride your bicycle, you can say this. Who knows what it is? You know it? Bismillah. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Do you know this one?
Yes.
Who knows this one already? You say it with me? We say Bismillah first, right? Bismillah.
Bismillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, now let's say it. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna illa rabbina lamunqalibun. When I first learned it, I said, what's the moon got to do with it? They said, what? I said, I heard you say la moon. And they said, no, no, no. I said, what does it mean? And they said, okay. Because you get in the car, or you get in the boat, or you get in the airplane, or you get on the donkey, whatever, you say to Allah this. Subhanalladhi. Subhana means to glorify the majesty of Allah. Subhanalladhi. Glory to the one who gave us the sakhr, means the control. Who gave us the control over hadha? Hadha means this. The praise is to the one who gave us the control over this vehicle, the car or the animal or bicycle, whatever, which we wouldn't have unless he gave it to us. Allah gave you the control, but you would not be able to do it if Allah didn't give it to you. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? And then it says real clear in there that the real journey, because you're going to go on a journey, you see, the real journey is to go back to Allah. The real journey is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. So it means, for I learned from this, that I can ride my bicycle. But I should say this dua. If I'm going to go on a journey, I should say this dua. If I'm going to ride in a car, on a boat, in an airplane, or whatever, it's okay. But there are some things I should do, and I should follow it as much as I can. But can I take somebody else's bicycle?
No.
Without permission, just go, woo, I like this bicycle. It's shiny, it's pretty, it has a bell. Ring, ring. Oh, man, I got a horn. Oink, oink. I'm having fun here, huh? But did I get permission?
No.
So what, is this haram?
Yes.
It's not because of a bicycle, not because of the ring ring or the honk honk. It's because of the what? No permission. It's called stealing. Oh, and that's another sin mentioned real clear in the Quran. Also in previous scriptures. You can't steal anything. So this is haram. What's haram? Not the bicycle, the stealing of the bicycle. Also, can I drive my bicycle over somebody else's flowers? Whoa, whoa, that's fun. Look, there's there. Boom! Into the flower. Can I do that?
No.
Why? Because it belongs to them. If I ask some lady, by the way, those are pretty flowers. Can I drive my bicycle over? What's she going to tell you? Get out of here, Majnoon, you crazy guy. Go away. There's another part, too, of halal and haram. When it comes to the worship of Allah, everything is haram. You can't do anything except what Allah has shown you, you can do. Think about this for a minute. It means you can't make up any religion. You can't do anything unless you find the proof to do it. I love Allah. You love Allah. So you want to show Allah how much you love Him. So you say, well, I'm going to pick all these flowers right here, which I like these flowers, and throw them in the water and say, Allah, I did that for you. Is Allah going to accept that? No, because He didn't ask you to do that. He didn't ask you to grab somebody else's flowers and throw them in the water and do that. Or if you said, I'm going to jump up and down on my bicycle 20 times every day, and Allah, He's going to love that. Is He going to like it? No. You did it because you like it. Yeah? Or if I'm going to go swimming for Allah. We don't have that, do we? No, there's nothing like this. If you want to worship Allah, you worship Him the way He told you how to worship Him. Let me share with you what Allah says about this subject. This is a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He told us that he declares war. It's called harb in the Arabic language. He declares harb, war, on anybody who acts bad to a friend of his. He said, and nobody comes closer to me with anything that I love more than what I told them to do in the first place. So you like to love Allah, you want Allah to love you, what do you need to do? You need to do what He ordered you to do. In the Quran, Allah told Prophet Muhammad what to say. Qul in kuntum tuhibun Allah fatabiuni yubbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. And in this case, look what Allah is saying. Say to them, Muhammad, say to them, because some people came to Muhammad, I love Allah, I love Allah. People do that today. I love Allah. Why don't you wear hijab? I love Allah, don't bother me. I love Allah. Why don't you pray? I don't need to do salah. I love Allah. Why don't you fast? It's Ramadan. I don't need to. I love Allah. Don't bother me. People talk like that. But here's the answer. Say to them, O Muhammad, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Then and only then will Allah love you. And He will forgive your sins because He's the forgiver and He's the merciful. Does that make sense? Yes, it makes big sense. I think because the worship of Allah is what gets you into paradise, and it also is how you get forgiven for the mistakes you make in this life. Because we do make mistakes. But suppose I made a mistake. Maybe I did something wrong. And I said, okay, now I need Allah to forgive me, right? So will I go to this tree and tell this tree, hey, tree, tell Allah I'm really sorry, okay? Will that benefit me?
No.
No. Why? Well, first of all, the tree didn't hear what I said anyway. Second of all, the tree isn't going to do anything, is it? Huh? But people do that. They have rocks, sticks, stones, and bones that they pull together and try to make statues, images, and all kinds of things. And they go to that and they want that thing to forgive them rather than a law. So this is one of the key things you have to understand. That if you want to reach a law with something from you, you have to do it the way the prophets did it. Let me give an example. The prophet Ibrahim. We've been talking about him a lot, haven't we? The prophet Ibrahim, he wanted to worship Allah, but he didn't know where Allah was. He didn't know. Allah tells us in the Quran, he didn't know. But he knew there was only one God. That he was sure of. And he knew that Allah was not in the statues that his father used to make for the people of the temple. So what did he used to do? He used to look to the sky and think, where is Allah? How can I reach Allah? Oh, look at the stars. Wow, whoa, that's something. But then the stars went away. He said, no, that doesn't work. Then he saw the moon. Hey, the moon, that maybe that's Allah. But it goes away. The sun comes out, but the sun goes down. He said, no, these things all come and go. And my God is not something that's going to go away. He's always wherever he is. That he's the one who created the heavens and earth. In sita ayam, which means 6 days or periods of time. Thumma istawa ala arsh. And then he rose above his throne. And we don't say he sits on it. We don't say he lays on it. We don't know. But he's up and out of the creation. That's what we know about Allah. So when we want to reach Allah with our worship, when we want to send a message to Allah, all we have to do is clean the heart. Clean the heart. And in the heart, ask Allah. And then Allah will hear. And he will know what you want. So this is real clear. Let me give you another idea. I like to talk about the Hajj. We haven't talked about that much yet, but we will be talking about that in future programs. The Hajj is something that's associated with Ibrahim. In fact, he's called Hajj Ibrahim because of this. Hajj means pilgrimage. To go on a long journey to go to a place for the sake of Allah. And many people have pilgrimages. Hindus have pilgrimages. Jewish have pilgrimages. Christians have pilgrimages. And Muslims have pilgrimages. They have this Hajj. But what will Allah accept? And that's what we're talking about. Because maybe somebody could say, well, I want to make a new religion and make pilgrimage to the moon. They could. And say, I have a moon god up there and I'm going to, you know, they could say crazy stuff. But does that mean they're really going to get to Allah with what they're doing? No. You need to know, does it say anywhere in Scripture from real prophets something like this? And if the answer is no, then you must stay away. It's haram to do worship except what Allah showed you to do. In fact, the place of worship today for Muslims is called the place of haram. Did you know that? The haram in Mecca means everything is haram. Don't do anything there except what Allah ordered you to do. Even you can't kill ants there. You can't. You have to leave everything alone. Everything is haram when you go to the haram in Mecca. Except the right worship of Allah. To worship Him, to pray to Him, and to make your raqah or the bowing ruku' only for Him. Only. It's all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you another example. Whenever you're going to make Hajj, or the pilgrimage, or Umrah. Umrah you can do anytime. Hajj you can only do once a year, right? But either case, when you're going to go for Umrah or Hajj, you put something on. The boys, girls, you can wear whatever you normally wear. But the boys have to put on something called what?
Ihram.
Ihram, you're right. You knew that, didn't you? Well, you're pretty smart. Ihram comes from this same word,
haram.
Because as soon as you put these, it's like two big towels. In my case, it's two huge towels, because I'm very big. You put on the towel, and you put this towel on you, roll that thing up, and then you get another towel, and throw it over you like this, and that's it. Two towels, that's all. Huh? Yeah. And even I don't have my shoes on anymore. We're going with our bare feet. Did you know that?
No.
But the girls, you can keep your shoes, no problem. Allah is very merciful to the ladies. But you do have to wear your hijab. Yeah, that's not a joke. That you got to have in your ihram. And then you go for your Hajj. But why is it called ihram? Because when you put it on, then you can't do anything haram anymore. Even things like somebody smokes cigarettes, he can't do that when he's in ihram. Because maybe Allah, he's not going to accept his Hajj. Because he's doing something really haram, and he's wearing ihram. Now guess what else? Every day Muslims are going into ihram, a state of everything is haram. Do you know that? Every day Muslims are doing that. You know how? Because when you stand up to pray, when you want to do salah, you say, Allahu Akbar, yeah? And this is called takbir. Takbiratul haram. Ihram. Because after you do this, everything's haram. As soon as you start to pray, can you eat? No. Haram. Can you drink? Haram. Can you talk on the telephone? Like this. Ring, ring. Salaam alaikum. Now, I'm really in salat right now. Can I call you back? Oh, really? It's on TV right now? Well, turn it up. I'll listen to it while I do salat. Can you do that? No. Astaghfirullah. This is crazy. This is not salat. This is stupid. Huh? So, when you say Allahu Akbar, no matter what, somebody calls you, hey, Yusuf, Yusuf, what's up? I can't answer him, can I? Or can I go like this? No? Hey, I'm praying. No, just keep praying to Allah. Think about Allah. True? Because everything became haram. I'm worshiping Allah. I can't go walking around. Huh? I have to finish salah. Until there's this motion right here. Look at this motion. When you do this, you're going into a state of ihram. Allahu Akbar. And now everything is between you and Allah until you finish and you say, Salaam alaikum rahmatullah, Salaam alaikum rahmatullah. Until you do that, it's all right. But as soon as I say, Salaam alaikum, okay, no. I can answer the phone, I can do what I need to do. Yeah. And when you worship Allah, worship according to the way He wants you to worship. And how is that? We know in the worship, we pray 5 times a day. Yeah? And we fast the month of Ramadan. We give charity called zakah. And we make hajj that I've been talking about. All of this is a part of worship. So the prophets taught their people, each prophet taught his people what they needed to know how to worship Allah. Some of the prophets we spoke about before, they came with clear revelation that the people passed on for a period of time anyway. And those are called rasuls, messengers. And they came with clear messages for their people. This continued over the centuries and centuries and centuries until the last prophet, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what he came with was very clear. It's called Sharia of Islam or Islamic law. And that is the final and last and the complete of all what Allah wants you to do and what He wants you not to do. But for you and I today, we want to keep it simple. We want to make it easy. When you leave and you go home, you want to be able to think, what can I use from what I learned today? It's easy. If it's in the world, you can do it unless it's haram. But if it's in the worship to Allah, you cannot do it unless it's halal. And the only way it's halal is if you find proof from the Quran or from the teachings of the prophets that says you can do it. And of course, we find that in Quran and the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm reminded, too, when I think about this, that all the prophets always said basically the same thing. The only difference was when there were differences for their communities or their nations at that time. But the last prophet came for all nations and even for the jinn. He came even for the jinn and for the human beings. So the halal and haram for us is very clear. Very clear. And if you're in doubt, now let's look at this last thing before we end this program. What if I'm in doubt? I'm not sure. Should I do this or should I not do this? If I do this, this will happen. If I don't do it, that will happen. Then what I will look at, I'm going to look over here and see the results. And if I think it's going to be bad, should I do it? No.
No.
But if I think it will be good, then I'll do that. But what if I'm just not sure at all? I just doubt. I don't know. It might be if I do it, it's a lie. Maybe if I do it, it's cheating. Maybe if I do it, some people will be hurt. I'm not sure. Should I do it?
No.
Why? Because there's a possibility for haram. But what if I want to do a good deed? But I'm not sure it's going to be a good deed. But it looks like it could be a good deed. It's possible it could be good. And I don't see anything really bad. Should I do it?
Yeah.
Because it looks good. But when you're really in doubt and you have no answer, Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet, peace be upon him, told us, when you're in doubt, leave it. Don't do it. Whatever makes you doubt, leave it for what doesn't make you doubt. And in plain Texas English, I always say, when in doubt, chicken out. Don't do it. Some boys come to you and they say, do this and do that. Some girls come to you, oh, I can do it. But you don't feel good about it. It doesn't feel right. Don't do it. Stay away from it. And Allah, He'll reward you. Sometimes we're not sure. We try our best. And there's something really nice in Islam about that. The scholars have to make decisions all the time. And they work hard to give you the answer. If they're right in their answer, they get a double reward from Allah. And if they're wrong, they still get one full good reward with Allah. Why? Because if you're wrong, but you tried your best, Allah knows your intention. And I want to end by saying what the Prophet Muhammad said, and it was Umar radiallahu anhu who said this. He said that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that all of your actions are going to be rewarded according to the intention. Whatever you intended to do, Allah will give you the reward for it. If you mean to do good, that's what you'll have the reward. But if you meant to do bad, then that's what you'll have the punishment for. And he said, Innama amalahu bin niyat. Innama amalahu bin niyat. Everything is according to the niyat or the intention. So let's all make a good intention that what we're going to do, Allah will like it. Good idea? Ameen. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah.